exerting their happy thought into what's going on. And so I went to NASA's site and I found a list of the tetrads. And this is what they are. So this is for this century, 2000. And I'm not going to go very far, but they list them all the way to 2091. So these are the tetrads right here. I don't know if that's...
Can't see it?
There's black ones in the cabinet.
That's why I brought that new pack out. Those are... My grandkids always leave me messages on their whiteboards.
Okay. So, the tetrads... What those are is four lunar eclipses in a calendar year. So we went through one. Does anybody remember? We just went through one. It's April 15th, 2014. Does everybody remember that one? You know what that one was? What it coincided with? Passover. It was Pesach.
Oh, that's right.
And that was Pesach for this year. And it's part of the four blood moons because it is a tetrad. The next one, anybody know what's coming up? October 8th. Anybody know what that is? It's more than that. It's a lot more than that. Feast of Tabernacles. Sukkot.
Oh, that's right.
This year. So we're going to have another blood moon on Sukkot. So on this side, what I was going to try and do is, so these are the tetrads, and these are these are the Shemitahs. So this side we have the tetrads, this side we have the Shemitahs. So what I was interested in seeing, since he mentioned it, how do the tetrads, the blood moons, how do they coincide with the Shemitahs? He talked about it a little bit, but not a whole lot. So I just, this is not definitive, I was just digging around a little bit and comparing the tetrads and that. So what we come to next is, we know those are here, so I'm going to put a little list under here of the tetrads for the dates. So that was the first one we had in this century. Does everybody see?
What is that?
2003 to 2004. The next one? These are the tetrads. So that was last year and this coming year? That's the next set. And this is the one where it gets very interesting for us. That's the next one. So this one affects us right now. We're in the middle of that. So we have Passover, and now we're going to have Sukkot. And those are tetrads. The next one doesn't occur till here. 32 to 33. That's the next set of blood moons on that time. So, and it goes on, it goes, not that it's going to affect us, but I'll just put one more just to put it. 42, 43. So covers half the century. So on the Shemitahs, the closest we have to this year is to 29. So we have 32 to 33 will be the next set after this set that we're dealing with right now. So basically between here and here, they're going to be two Shemitahs. And that's what he was talking about.
Wow.
So we have 21 to 22 up here, and then 28, 29. So what does all this work for? How does it connect?
Huh? It's toward the end of days.
Well, they're talking about sooner than later, and we know there's a lot more that has to take place. So, but with the cascading events and the exponential happening, growth in prophecy being fulfilled, there's something cool. So, how do we look? What I was trying to connect it to is something that we can do biblically. It's not necessarily by chance, and the Word talks about it. So, there's a couple places. And the first one is in Joel chapter 2. And it is, what is 10? Okay, Joel chapter 2, verse 10. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall shake, and the sun and the moon shall grow dark, and the stars shall gather in their light. And then skip down to saying 220, we'll go from 28, and this is quoted in Acts 2 as well. And it shall be afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And I also pour out my spirit on the slaves and on the slave girls in those days. And I'll give signs in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great day of an awesome day of Yahweh. So we will see a pattern. And one more time in chapter 3 of Joel. This okay, this goes right after, I'm gonna read from the bottom, because this is, gather yourselves and come, all you nations, and gather yourselves together all around, oh Yahweh, bring down your mighty ones, let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Everybody know what that is? Valley of the Decision, and also in Hebrew, Megiddo, Armageddon. So this is that period where Yeshua, right before his coming. So in context, for there I will sit and judge all the nations around. Put a sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the press is full and the vats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision. Verse 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall gather in their light. And then he goes on, 16, and Yahweh roars from Zion, and he gives us his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens, and the great earthquake. But Yahweh is refuge to his people, and a fortress to the sons of Israel. So again, another place where we're talking about the sun and the moon be affected. And here's the one that kind of brings everything together.
Did you say that was Joel?
Joel. There's three places in Joel. The last one is in Revelation, and it has to do with the seal. So it's Revelation 6, verse 12. And I saw when he opened the great, it was the sixth seal, and behold, a great earthquake occurred, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the hair made of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, and the fig tree be shaken by the great wind and cast its unripe figs. So, another place where the sun is dark, and we're talking the solar eclipse, and the moon turned to blood, which is, we're talking about the tetrad, the blood moon's coming. So, you take those passages, and they're parallel. They're showing the time period in which it's the end times. Now the only thing, and that's why I said I don't want to make this doctrine, I'm just throwing this out for consideration, because the years that we have coincide. The tetrads, 30 to 32. So we're going to have four places in that time period where we're going to have four blood moons again. And the time in between that time, 20 to 28, is going to be the Shemitah. So we're going to have some things, judgment going on because of the Shemitah is obviously going to be broken. The Antichrist is going to be ruling, and Israel will make a pact with him for a time. And Dad pointed this out. It's interesting, if you look at these, there's a 3.5 year period in the 32 to 33 and the 28 to 29. Drawing a conclusion that there may be that whole time period of the 3.5 where the increase of the tribulation turns from great tribulation. The last 3.5 years are when the Antichrist is actually, Satan actually possesses him at that point because he's kicked out of heaven. And so he has great rage. And we read from Revelation 12 and 14 that he can have great rage against the people who keep the commandments of Adonai. So those who keep Torah. And it's repeated again in chapter 14 the same. So that's a 3.5 year mark. So what we're looking at, maybe the Shemitah year, the 28, could possibly be that place of the 3.5 year mark. And then the tetrads of 30 and 30, 32 and 33 will be coinciding with the chapter 2 and 3 in Joel. So, I mean, it's just thrown out there. It sounds confusing, but the idea between the correlation between the tetrads and the Shemitahs seem to be following throughout history. Jonathan Kahn was talking about, through history, these things happen. And not coincidentally, the Shemitahs were connected to some of these major things that happened. And while we're listening, I looked up something, and it's something to consider as well. The World Trade Tower was the largest buildings in the world. Guess where the new tallest building in the world is? He said the North American, that wasn't the newest one.
China.
No.
Dubai.
It's in Dubai. Yeah. Emerald Arabic. Yeah. That is the largest. Since 2010, they've had the largest building. Mm-hmm. And what is connected with those folks? Islam. There's a power transference that's happened from England to America, and now Islam is taking over. And so, guess there's one under construction now. Guess what that's going to be? Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
It's going to be the new largest. It's under construction now. China was going to build one, but they're not going to be near it as tall as the other.
Well, didn't they build? How big is that one in China?
It's not as big. I looked it up. It's not nearly as tall.
Is that the swirl one?
Yeah. But the newest one that's coming out is called, what's it called? The Tower of Freedom. Okay. Freedom Tower. And it's in Saudi Arabia now. So, we're talking this to me. If you deal with the two witness theory, now all of a sudden not only one but another tallest building is going to be located in another Islamic state. So, if Jonathan Kahn's theory is right and that America and the whole transfer of power is taking place, what does that show us? God's allowing this to happen. Mm-hmm. The power transfer is to Islam.
Right.
And so if we understand current events, we know that Islam has to come to power because they're the ones that hate Israel the most.
Yeah.
And so if we read Psalm 102, it's a picture of prison internment camps where the conditions are horrific. And there's really only one people now on the earth that have that kind of hatred towards Israel, and that's Islam. So we can see that there could be a connection with Islam somehow in the last days in connection with rising to power and what's happening and how God's manipulating and using people's anti-Semitism and their predisposition to hate the Jews into creating a power struggle that's going to end to the... They're going to come into focus for the end times. So to me, it's like all these various realities are coming true at this time that only this time in world history could have happened. It had to be now.
Yeah.
All the various prophecies, so you're talking Israel becoming a nation, they're recapturing Jerusalem, having to connect those with the Shemitahs, and the various times where people are judged, America, because what they're doing in opposition to God, according to the Shemitahs. So, what I see is this reality, the Messianic, has to come to this period and have to come to prominence, because we wouldn't have these clues. We would be clueless if we didn't have the reality of the biblical understanding of the Shemitahs and the other various components that you add to the Messianic realm. We wouldn't have nearly the understanding that we have now. So to me, these are really closely related, and it's God's sovereignty. He's allowing and drawing people into this Messianic reality so we can understand the sign of the times, but not simply so we can say, hey, I know more than you do, Mr. Evangelical. The reality is always what it's been, to the Jew first, and our mandate, as Paul talks about in Romans 9, 10, 11, to provoke the Jews to jealousy. The only way we can do that is by worshiping their God, their Mashiach, and doing it in love and sacrifice. So that is the position of the end times. You go to Matthew 25, and the issue of Yeshua talking about the sheep and the goats. It has to do with how we treat Israel, his brothers in the last days that we're in. So these are all interrelated and connected, and that's the fascinating part to me, that these dates are really, really close. I'm not saying that, you know, Yeshua's coming back on 2032 is 33, but if we all were going to Christian Center at the time, and remember Ted made the calculations, the mathematic calculations from the 70 weeks of Daniel, and he came up, not coincidentally, with 2032. So, you know, we don't know the day or the time, but we do know the season. And by looking at the clues the Word gives us, I mean, it's hard to deny Joel and Revelation both having the same verbiage about what's going on with the Tetrads, and then connecting it with the Shemitahs in judgment. So, to me, you know, like I said, I was just kind of fooling around looking at dates and definitions and independent, you know, this whole thing was independent. That's NASA doing that. Mm-hmm. They have the charts all set up, and you can go all the way through 21st century with the Tetrads. But connecting with the Shemitah years is pretty crazy, because if these are close, that's only two more Shemitahs that we have before we can enter into the tribulation realm. Mm-hmm. So what it says is we should be really on our game and seeking, and not just going. I mean, Mom's illustration of what's her name?
Victoria Osteen,
and her proclamation of that God wants us to be happy. I mean, that stands in the face of all what God says, and Yeshua said to his disciples, "They will hate you because of me." Yeah. I mean, you pick up your cross daily and follow me, and mother and father-in-law will be against each other. Sister and brothers will be against each other. So, great upheaval. And it's not the peace that they're preaching. So, there's going to be a clear distinction of what goes on and what side we're on. So, what I'm seeing is what I've talked about before. Is I see this reality as a great funnel. And it's very, very wide at the top. And it seems like for many, many years, a couple hundred years at least, since the Great Reformation, that we've had a lot of information, and it's been very wide, but now as we get closer to the end, this funnel is narrowing. And so it's coming to a place where we won't have the ability to walk on a wide path as we've been able to, especially in America. I mean, the path has been very, very wide, and it's supposed to lead to destruction, but what it's been leading to is compromise in the church. So as this narrows and more biblical realities become more clearly defined, we're going to see that there's going to be a clear defined path, and many people are going to be walking on the wide path. Because I was just reading in Matthew 11:6, Yeshua, right before he talks about John the Baptist and another kingdom discourse, he talks about he's warning people not to be offended because of him. And Mike Bickle echoes the same thing. The offense comes not only because of Torah observance and righteousness, which is apostolic and messianic side, both, but because people won't be able to stomach the reality of us a body praying for seals and the trumpets to be released on the Antichrist system. So when you have this group of people desiring and praying and interceding for violence to come in judgment, that's going to be opposed to a group that really are hoping they're going to get out before that happens, pre-tribbers, and those people are caught in compromise. So there's going to be great distinction between these two groups. And so what my point is, coming to a place of understanding more about the Messianic, we're going to have more information, more understanding, and revelation coming about end times. And we're going to need that so we have not a pride issue, but an understanding of how to intercede and pray for Israel. And to warn those in our family and in our friends groups that there are things coming that we can withstand, but we have to be so entrenched in God's love and His presence to be able to walk through it.
Where did you come up with that?
The tetrads were found on, like I said, on a NASA site.
On a what?
NASA. Space NASA. They have a whole list of the tetrads. And then the Shemitahs, you can... And then I wanted to see if there was coinciding dates with the Shemitah with more feasts. There wasn't. Nope. But that doesn't necessarily set aside what the scripture says, because it only says that the Shemitah years and the tetrads coming are a part of a time period, not necessarily the Shemitah comes and then we have Passover. But there are within weeks, though. So these tetrads actually show up in close proximity to the feast later on in these other years, but not on the dates. So that's the only divergence I saw in researching the tetrads, the Shemitah years, and the feast schedule. Because I checked the feast schedule off to 2050. So, any questions or comments?
No, I was just going to comment that when I was coming today, I was listening to the Christian station, and there was a man from the UK, and he was talking about whatever organization he belongs to, and I didn't get the name. They're making like documentaries, and they're